The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I exalt you. I adore you. I bless you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, God Almighty, for what you have been doing here since Monday. Thank you, God Almighty, for all the men and the women you have used to bring blessing to your people. God, I exalt you. I thank you. I thank you for tonight. I ask, oh God Almighty, I know your spirit is here already. I know your angel is here. I know you will help us greatly tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy, I ask for grace that I will add to what has been given in the name of Jesus and be a blessing to your people. Help me to be a blessing to your people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God so much for what He's doing here. It's so obvious the Lord is here and has been doing so wonderfully well in our midst. So much of God's grace, God's mercy, God's words have come down here since Monday. And God is witnessing to His promises. He's telling us that what He has promised, He will not repent. And so that is the reason for this meeting, to bring to bear what God has promised the church, what God wants to make out of His people. God's agenda is being spoken for everybody to see, understand, and run with it. So we thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you for convening this meeting. Thank you for yielding to the Lord. Thank you for making it possible for this meeting to hold. And thank you for hearing the mind of the Lord, peeping into His heart, and then bringing the meeting together. I want to appreciate you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, our mommy, Reverend Pipe. God bless you. Thank you for yielding to the Lord. I listened to you towards the end of your message. That was yesterday. Yeah. This morning. Sorry. Yeah, thank God for you. Thank God for the grace He has given you, the strength, the ability, the willingness to make sure that the will of God comes to pass in this land. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will keep you strong for Reverend in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you for that place that you stand in the body of Christ. The Lord will strengthen and increase you mightily in the name of Jesus. Yay, Mama. Ekulema. God bless you, ma. Thank you so much for all you have given to the Lord. And the Lord knows it. He sees it. Thank you for not relenting. Thank you for holding forth. Thank you for being a witness to this generation that God is worthy to be served. Thank you so much. I also listened to your message. God bless you so much. That was powerful. God bless you, man. Reverend Ken. Good evening, sir. Good to see you. Happy New Year. I'm saying Happy New Year to most of us. I'm seeing most of us for the first time this year. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for where you stand in the body. The Lord will increase you. The Lord will bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. Pastor Tosin, Leo Bai, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the message yesterday. It was very powerful. We thank God for His grace upon you. We thank Him for His mercy. We thank God for raising you He will raise you the more in the name of Jesus. You will come to the finish in Jesus' name. Bishop Tayo Fason. Thank you. Thank you for your fervent love for the Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for that message before Pastor Tosin yesterday. The Lord increase you mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor Parks, all the way from London, thank you so much. Thank you for loving Ondo Land. Thank you for coming. Thank you for gracing this meeting. God bless you. Although I couldn't listen to your message, they have told me how you were gossiping about me on pulpit. How you were gossiping about me on pulpit. I've heard it. The Lord bless you mightily in Jesus' name. And all the pastors who are teaming up with Reverend in the house, the Lord will increase you mightily in the name of Jesus. Pastor Dixon, Pastor Alfred, Pastor T. TJ. P. You see, that's why I stopped. We have TJ in Lagos. So I was confused. TJ or PJ? PJ. God bless you, Pastor. And the other pastor there. Pastor Adisa. The light is too much. Let me wear my glasses. Pastor Adisa, God bless you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Pastor Lydia, that was a beautiful one. I see that it's not only me that issue commandments now. We are becoming plenty that issue commandments. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you mightily. Pastor Mayowa, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. I greet everybody, so I don't spend all the time greeting. I greet all of you. God bless you. Thank you for attending this conference. The Lord will reward you mightily with himself in the name of Jesus. I'm greeting my husband. He's on his way. He just had to take some rest. He has not been resting. So when we got there, you go before me, I will come later. So he should be on his way now. Sister, thank you for giving to the Lord. God bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I want to thank God and appreciate all the men of God who have ministered since Monday. Pastor Emeka, Pastor Thompson Ehima, Pastor Tayo Ladejo, Pastor Dimeji. Yes, I want to thank all of them. You see, all these big and mighty men of God, they have ministered already. So, small girl like me, what am I going to say? But to rejoice and give glory to God for all that he has done through his men of God. Shebi? All the big men have finished ministering. So the small girl is just here to say what now? Just something small. Amen. We'll say something small, then we'll begin to dance and thank God. The army of the living God. I really thank God for what God started doing since the beginning of this year. It's obvious that God is calling us to something that is so key to the church and key to nations. The church has to go up to be able to help the world. That was what the Lord began to tell us this year, that the church must go up. It is only from up that you can influence what is happening on earth. You know, when we're praying for this election and now discover the need for growth, the need, it is only upon a rising that authority can rest. Authority cannot rest when we don't grow. They can't put authority on a child. We need the church to grow so that there will be trees that can stop, you know, all manner of evil, all manner of wind. When the church remains babyish, the whole nation is gone. So God wants us to raise to the place where authority can be conferred on us, the place where glory can rest on us. I just saw the need too much this year that there is need for us to raise. Let us raise. So, the army of the living God, as I was praying, I listened to Reverend the first night, and what just stuck in my spirit is that the army of the living God is about formation. Formation of image. The army of the living God, they are everlasting army. Men and women who have trapped everlasting life. Not just heard about everlasting life, they have grown up a stature of everlasting life. Because that army is a different, you know, when you say army, what you are looking at is completely different from how this army looks like. This army, you know, the way they described that army, the great people in Joel, when you look at them, like if you look at that description like that, you will mistake them for something else. They are not fierce people. They are fierce in righteousness. You'll be shocked that that army is, what thing is so key and particular about them is they are meek and they are lowly. That is how they fight. There are armies that have been framed by righteousness. Because they are going to make war in righteousness. They have learned righteousness. They were framed by righteousness. You see that by the time they stand, if they are not framed by righteousness, the devil will beat them blue-black. Because what we actually need to overcome is unrighteousness. We need to overcome iniquity to be able to get life. That army, they are, you know, one thing about army is their training. They don't joke with training. They don't joke with schooling. Because one thing about army, highly regimented. They are instruction beings. If you cannot take instruction, you can't be part of the army. Because there's one word they use, obey the last order. Very regimented. Because if you are not given to obeying order, you will cause trouble for the group. They win by order. They win by instructions. They move by instructions. They don't waste time at all. They just throw you out. So in training everlasting army, they begin to train us with obedience to Christ. What do you overcome? When Christ is fully preached, there is a formation of Christ. Like Paul said, he said, my little children, in whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The foundation of that army is the formation of Christ. That army has Christ as their foundation. Christ has been formed in them, which means Christ has been evidently laid before them. Give me that Galatians. He said, Galatians, I think it's chapter 3. He said, before whom Christ has been evidently set forth, and what? It should be chapter 3. Aha. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who had bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? These people were being troubled by Judaism. And Paul knows that that building will be faulty if they are built on Judaism. For a man to stand firm and strong and be able to connect the next allocation, the foundation must be strong. When you want to build a house, like I said, a soldier is a building. If you are not properly built, when you are talking about physical soldier, it's about physical building. You must be fit. Not just physically fit. Wars are not really won by recruits. Wars are not won by recruits. Generals don't go to the field. to should be doing both, sir. But they are the ones who win the war. Okpolo, wisdom. Wisdom. Strategies of war. You Nigerian soldier, we have some generals. When we are talking about, we just laugh. General, ha. When we talk about Obasanjo, they say that one is a general. He has fought wars. They bring strategies to win war. So a soldier is not just physically built. A soldier is built with wisdom. Built with wisdom. Because, you see, we are not fighting lome, soldiers. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. We are wrestling with spirits. Spirits of lawlessness. Spirits that perpetrate lawlessness. And these spirits, if there's anything about them, is that the spirits were wisdom beings. They were wisdom beings. They corrupted their wisdom. So what we are fighting corrupted wisdom. You need original wisdom to fight them. So these soldiers are not just ordinary. You know, when we talk of wisdom, we'll get there. They are not just ordinary people. Real soldiers are not just physical, although you must be physically fit. But these days you see some generals, they're taking too much to pursue. They are pot bellies. Soldiers are not meant to have pot bellies. But you see, you can't take that strategy from them. You can't take it from them. Those who are physically fit and on the field, if they don't get the strategies from the generals, they will lose wars. So what am I saying? Soldiers must be raised. They must be built. And the beginning of our building is the revelation of Christ. Christ must be evidently set forth before us and crucified among us. We must receive the teachings of Christ, the revelation of Christ. What do we use revelation of Christ to do? We use it to overcome the law of sin and death. That is our first warfare. You overcome the law of sin and death because there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. 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 It's a warfare. You know why? Spirits perpetrated the flesh life. So when they are revealing Christ to us to live by, they want you to overcome some spirits. Some level of spirits. Those spirits, you shall not say, give me Ephesians chapter 2. Flesh is not an ordinary thing, no. It's a preparation of spirits. Product of spirits. When you are warring it with flesh, don't think that it's just something you have just been used to. Spirits, what are you? Ephesians chapter 2, and you are still quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, ye did what? Ye walked. In times past, ye did what? Ye walked. Ye walked. Are you seeing your warfare now? It's a change of walking. That is where the warfare starts from. Ye walked, because that walking, there is something it ends in. Ye walked according to the prince of the air. Are you seeing Wahala? Are you seeing Wahala? Prince of the air. Prince of the power of the air. The spirit. The spirit. You can't walk according to what a spirit has done and you will not be made captive of that spirit. You can't walk in a path that a spirit charted. He charted that path to bring you under, to make you a captive. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh, there is a walking going on. This is the work that revelation of Christ wants to undo. That walketh in the children of disobedience. Spirits supervise disobedience. Have you ever warred with spirits? They don't want to let you go. Some habits, they are not ordinary habits. They have been enhanced by spirits. Kenneth Hagin said, when a habit persists, spirits take over.
spirits take over. You just discover yourself, you cannot be free. You can't just be free. That thing, you have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. That is what has happened to people when they will now tell you that I feel like I'm a woman. Meanwhile, all the indices is showing that you are a man. All the indices shows that you are a man. See, I just feel like I'm a woman. Or I'm a woman, I feel like I am a man. And you are helpless at it. Habits. People contact habits through different means. I went to minister somewhere and they brought a girl to me to pray for. She's about 16 years old. They drove her from the boarding school. I said, what happened? Said, she sleeps at night. She will wake up and go and be touching other girls. And she has not done it to one person, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight. Those girls don't like it. But she will just, so I said, Kilo Shele. She said she doesn't know that she just gets up in the night and she finds herself with that pool. And then she goes, I said, where did this start from? Somebody had abused her. She contacted a spirit to that activity. And it was a man that abused her, but opened the door in her life to a spirit to invade her. It was a man, she went to stay in her grandmother's house. And a man said she should come and be doing blowjob. Child of about 7 or 8 then. Now she's 16. Spirit, you see, don't joke with any habit. Don't joke with any habit. Any habit you persist in, you are calling for spirits. Because it's actually the lifestyle of spirits. Those spirits turned. They were spirits that were willed by righteous laws when they were made. God made them, whipped them with righteous laws. They turned and corrupted everything that they were made with. So when you see all those habits, they are corrupted laws of angels. Corrupted laws. They now came and taught man. So man will say, that is me. It's not you. It's not you. That is me. That's not you. That's not you. That's not you. And if you persist in that is me, spirits will help you. Every spirit, the intention of even demons, their intention is to make you a lake material. Very, very little sin can take you to lake, not just hell. As a believer, you know, grace people, they tell you once saved, always saved. Ironio, the Bible tells us that once saved is not always saved. There is a sin unto death. The Bible says, and he was writing this to believers. So if you see a brother sin a sin that is not unto death, you will pray for him and then you give him life. He said, there is a sin unto death. I did not say you should pray for this one. But you see, sin unto death does not come to you like that. It starts with little disobedience, little habits that will mature. Jungle will mature. Who know, go come know. So the introduction of Christ to us is to help us to fight and defeat the laws of sin and death. How do we defeat it? When Christ is revealed, there are laws that made up Christ. There are laws that formed Christ. Those laws need to also form you. How does it form me? Christ is evidently set forth. Christ is revealed. Christ is preached. Christ is not preached until I see the laws that made him up. When Christ is preached, the laws that made him up, I need to understand, I need to see it because I need to obey it to become. It is what you do that you become. Like that Ephesians that we're reading, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, among whom we also all had our conversation in times past. In the lust of our flesh. Are you seeing where flesh came from? Lust of our flesh. Spirit propagated these things. The flesh life. In the lust of our flesh,
fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Are you seeing? What you do is forming nature. Were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's why I need to disobey these laws for another nature to begin to be formed in me. Formation of nature comes by what I do, the way I live, what I walk in, what I live by. He said, we were fulfilling the laws of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So the army, the beginning of the army of God, is that the army of God must have the formation of Christ. That we deal with the law of sin and death. Christ, give me Romans chapter 8. It's very interesting because if you don't fight, you are not fighting these armies. They are not fighting their uncles in the village. They are fighting unrighteousness. They are armies of righteousness. They are armies of righteousness. Hallelujah. Say that there might be trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Trees of righteousness. Righteousness grew them. Righteousness from the beginning. Righteousness of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To them that believe. To the Jews first, then to the Greeks. For therein, inside Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. This army, they must be weighed by righteousness from beginning to the end. Their toes are righteousness. The hair of their head is righteousness.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. For you see, faith, the faith that is in Christ Jesus, builds.
Yes.
It builds.
Yes.
It builds.
Yes.
If you open your heart to it, it builds you up. It builds you up and builds a refuge inside of you.
Mm.
It makes you strong.
Mm.
It makes you strong.
Mm.
It's a power to withstand against power.
It gives
you power to stand against some powers,
yes,
even of darkness,
yes,
of unrighteousness.
Yes.
For righteousness is power.
Yes.
Righteousness is a force,
mm,
that must build you up.
Yes.
That must be found in you. Open your heart to the doctrine of Christ.
Yes.
Open your heart to the teaching of Christ.
Yes.
And let the formation of Christ be thorough in you, and you will be a powerful man.
Yes.
Hear the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Give me that Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Yes. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And for what? And for what? And for what? Christ is the person that you unleash on sin. The law of sin and death. Unleash Christ. I was talking with a minister. She said, I don't understand that these children don't want to live holy. They don't want to be holy. And those are our days. I said, therefore, nobody can attain holiness. The holiness that God is requiring without the revelation of Christ. Christ is the one you need to know to do to make you holy. He said, when you yield to righteousness, from righteousness to righteousness, unto holiness. You see, the army of the living God is the army of God, though it's a very holy army. Very holy. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
If the Lord is holy, his army cannot be unholy. In fact, that's a ground for defeat. That's a ground for defeat. Because our captain, our Lord Jesus, Bible says, is the captain of our salvation. He's a holy being. Bible says, for such an high priest became us. The first thing, who is holy? Who is holy? Holy at all realms. The first level of holiness you come across is the holiness that the revelation of Christ gives. Say, for such an high priest became us, who is holy? He's what? Harmless. Can you imagine an army that is harmless? Army is harmless. You know, it doesn't go together. Yes, they are harmful to the enemy, but to themselves, they are harmless. Jesus Christ destroyed principalities and powers. He harmed them. Permanently harmed them. But for his church, he doesn't harm. Are you seeing the kind of army? You see, when you talk of army, you talk of somebody who is fierce, who does not take armies are very, very tough. Not this army of the living God. They are tender, they are gentle like their Lord, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. These are high men. Armies of the living God, of the living God. If they are armies of the living God indeed, it means they have partaken of the life of the living God. Everlasting life. Everlasting life has what it does to his people. People who will come across laws, commandments of everlasting life. But before you can take judgment of everlasting life, you must have used the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that will make you free from the law of sin and death. So when that law, when Christ is revealed, it is for you to use. It is for you to walk. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. This is so important. It is so important for a formation to take place in us. It is our foundation for salvation. Formation to appear. Christ must appear. Christ must be formed. Christ must be seen. And there are things we learn in Christ that prepare us for the judgment of everlasting life. You know, that Christ is not a useless cause. If you don't take it well, you can't take judgment of everlasting. Because everlasting life has commandments. The Bible says, a carnal man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. A carnal man is he who has not used Christ. Who is the carnal? When you have used Christ, you have become spiritual. Then you are ready to take things. Judgments. Things of the Spirit of God. Things of the Spirit of God. Because they want to raise the army of the living God. Armies of the living God. They are armies that have trapped everlasting life. But before you can trap everlasting life, you must have trapped the life that is in Christ. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. Which life? The life in Christ. To be spiritually minded is what? Is life and what? Peace. So you trap life. You need life for life. A level of life for another level of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Armies. So you see, that army. Hey, formidable people. Formidable people. They are not carnal at all. Their formation, their building is spiritual, then everlasting. So that they can take eternal substances. But you see, the realm of overcoming is that place of taking everlasting life. By the time you are done with everlasting, that's where you begin to hear, he that overcometh. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. What do you need to overcome? What do you need to overcome? Iniquity. Iniquity. The crux of everything. Let's look at the devil that we are fighting. You know, I said something about armies. They are building. Apart from physical building, Nobody sends a recruit to go and represent a nation in a war. They will beat, no matter how physically fit you are, they will beat you blue-black. Army generals must go who will turn out strategies, instructions. So this army that we are talking about, they are wise men. The giving of Christ is the giving of wisdom. Thou by thy law has made me wiser than my enemies. This army that we are fighting, spirit, we need wisdom to combat them. So the first wisdom, I said, Christ is very important. Christ makes you wise, because we preach Christ and him crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to us who are saved, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So Christ comes to educate you, make you wise. That wisdom, hey, that wisdom, you need it for this warfare. If not, you will be beaten blue-black. I think I've shared a testimony with us here. The Lord was telling me what wisdom, one of those days, what wisdom is. Somebody had offended me and it was very painful. And you know how pain stays on your heart. You'll be thinking about it, your heart will be, I'm at best okay. You'll be ruminating over your heart. Oh, they survive. At times, you don't understand that it's actually a spirit that is enforcing those things. I'll tell you, Satan, if you are not wise, he'll beat you blue-black. Blue-black. I'm one mean, wisdom, nothing down. I used to have a neighbor those days, very cantankerous. Oma Monyo Bumbio knows how to wash you down, talk you down. But if she sees anybody greeting you, she just says, why are they greeting her? Who is she? You know that kind of attitude? Very bad attitude. Very bad. I will even greet her. How are you? Say, hi. And before all this, the Lord had warned me. He said, make sure you love her. I didn't understand. I said, make sure you love her. I said, why are you telling me to love her? By the way, she's already dealing with me. The natural thing for me is not to love her. She kept at that derogatory distance. In fact, she even called me a name. You know, because of training of Christ, you are gentle, you are tender. After abusing me, I will go and tell her, I'm sorry. Say, hypocrite. Me, I'm trying to obey law of Christ. Somebody is calling me hypocrite. And the Lord said, make sure you love her. The weaving of this army, if you are not wise, they will beat you blue-black. So the Lord said, make sure you love her. Then I'll go and beg her again. And then she will just... So I became so pained. And in my heart, I've forgiven her. But this thought of what she did kept coming. And she said this, and she said that, and she said this, and she said that, and she said this, and she did that, and she did that. How can somebody do this? How can... And the thing continued. I said, I'm forgiven now. And she said this, and she said that. I was struggling. Until one day, I was just coming out of the room. My eyes just opened. I just saw a demon behind me. It was a demon that was enforcing those things, that was bringing those things. And she said this, and she said that, and she said this, and she said that, and will not let you go. Why? Is this sympathizing with you? God had to open my eyes. I just saw one ugly demon behind me. And he won't know Shadu Relay. And this thing was affecting my heart. So I ran again to my sister. I said, Jotoriolong, let's not have quarrels again. The devil does not like us. Say, stop spiritualizing things. Is that not spiritual? A devil is fighting to bring you under. If you are not meek, you can't overcome. If you want to say, you have finished you. You are no longer fighting. That's what they want you to stand in the place of Muti Jare, Muti Jepi. So look at the Lord here. You have to be wise. So for me not to be overcome, the Lord is instructing me. Do it this way. lover. So one day, so one day, you know all those efforts, begging, kneeling down, she will call me names, and I'll say, okay, and the Lord will not let me go. So one day she was washing her clothes in the compound, and I came in. As I was coming, I saw her washing. The Lord said, go and join her to wash those clothes. I said, ah. Do you know that is wisdom?
Yes,
said, go and join. I said, ah. If I go, number one, I was already angry. Then number two, I said, if I go, she will still call me hypocrite. So I looked, I said, God, I'm not going to multi-try. I didn't know what would have happened. Disobeyed, I must not lie. You know, two things would have happened. That could have broken her, and those trouble will finish. Or that will even lift me, because when you do something, it breaks the power of Satan. Break the power of sin by obeying. So I didn't do it. And the thing continued though until we left the house. That was my freedom. Why am I bringing up this story? So I came across somebody else who did some very terrible things. Who they want to do me, unto me. So I sat down and the Lord, it was my husband that was ministering, talking about wisdom. And the Lord said, do you know the wise thing in this matter? Do you know? With the way we talk wisdom, we don't understand. Yeah, kise brightness, kise kwe mo sharp. Wisdom, the wisdom that Christ teaches, the wisdom that Christ is. You know that wisdom? He said, do you know the wise thing in this situation? I said, what is the wise thing? He said, forgive and behave as if it never happened. Then you are wise. You disarm spirits. You overcome spirits. Because Christ teaches us that in malice we should be what? In understanding we should be. That is the wisdom that we learn when Christ is revealed. The army needs to be framed with that wisdom. Because at the end of the day, the army are children. The army that wants to fight spirits. And they are angry with themselves. Hey, Pastor, we want to fight spirits. What spirits will just throw into our midst? Ebaranja. Can you focus on them again? You can't focus on them. The army must be one. You know, army, the way they move, oneness. Have you ever seen army marching? So wisdom, Christ teaches us the wisdom that is in Christ. The wisdom of meekness and lowliness. That is wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is what? Is first pure. Is then what? It's peaceable. Are you seeing wisdom? Are you seeing wisdom that this army must be dealt with? You begin to learn that. Peaceable. Said that is from above is first pure. Then peaceable. And wisdom is then gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of wisdom. You. Army. Gentle. Are you seeing? See, I told you, if you are looking at Nigerian army, compare, it's not the kind of Nigerian army. The army of the living God, they are gentle. You know, army, when a man is strong, he's no longer gentle. You see army beating up people mercilessly on the road. You dare not offend soldiers. You can offend police. Soldier, halubenku. You know that their strength that they have, the thing they push them, jiggy jiggy. That strength, they are not meek. You dare not Oh my God. You know power. When you give power to a man, the power makes you to lose composure. I used to have a boss. He was a son. Police stopped him on the road. Powerful man. Police stopped him on the road. He came out of his car, slapped the police, and gave his card to the police. Said, this is my card. Come and arrest me. The person that slaps you and gives you his card. Will you dare to go to his office? He's a powerful man. He has influence. But he was not raised with gentleness. He was not raised with meekness. But our own, you see, our growth is growth into authority and dominion. But what we control that authority and dominion is meekness, gentleness. So it's pure, that's wisdom. You see, this army, they must be pure. These are the things that Satan corrupted. He filled his midst with violence. And then he will teach us. So when you want to meet him, power for fire, fire for fire, you are in trouble. He has detonated you already. You see, when Michael was coming to take the body of Moses from the hand of Lucifer, the Bible says, he did not come against him with railing accusations. That is not the Lord that framed him. He was not framed with railing. You can imagine when he contended for the body of Moses. You can imagine the kind of accusations that Lucifer, as an outlaw, would have brought against Michael during that contest. Because they say he contended. It was not that Oya Ban Bekin here. They contended. You can trust Lucifer. Because he wants to keep the body of Moses, what he would have said to Michael. Oh, dear. Weary. Weary. Idiot. Fudidene. Serving the living God all your life. You will not break free. Oh, dear. Look at your face. Mumu. Zombie. There's nothing he would have. But Michael was framed by laws that does not bring railing accusations. The Christ had set an example for us to follow. What is that example that he gave us? I'm telling you that this army, the way they will look like, Christ set us an example to follow, for leaving us an example that he said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. What is the steps? Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who did no sin? Guile was not found in his mouth. I'm pissing the army to you so you can know what you are being called to. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Are you saying, you soldier warning? You don't threaten a soldier. He will tell you, who are you? Who are you? Do you know who I am? If soldier clash with police, then you will know who no go. You know, police force, they are a force. Sure, you understand? And at times, they want to tabiobio where soldiers are. They will now make mistake. Soldiers will now prove to them that they are bloody civilians. Because a police does not receive the same training a soldier receives. Even though they are trained, they will show them pepper. That is not the kind of army God is raising. It's not the kind of army that shows pepper. When you are reviled or when you are threatened, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. What does that show us? The kind of armies that God is raising. They are weak. They are meek. They are tender. You know me, I don't know too much revelation. But I just happen to see some things about the configuration of the army that God is raising. So, I told you, army does not win a battle by just physical strength. Wisdom. Those beings are wisdom beings. They corrupted their wisdom. So if you are going to beat them, you must start with the wisdom of Christ. Wisdom of Christ. That will make the army one to face the enemy and defeat them. When the enemy can divide us, we are finished. So in raising us, they raise us with abilities to be children in malice. In children, in malice, the children, in understanding the men. They are preparing you for something. Because that's a weapon that the enemy will bring. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Is a weapon. The more you grow, the more your ability to maintain oneness. Why? They teach you to be meek. Meekness. When you learn Christ, one thing you learn meekness and lowliness. Learning Christ is not sitting down in a classroom and say, this is who Christ is. They lead you. They correct you. That, like I told you, that sister, before she started dealing with me, the Lord had already told me, make sure you love her. Make sure you love her. And when the thing is overwhelming, the Lord will say, do it this way. Do it that way. Do it this way. Do it that way. By so doing, they are making you wise. Those instructions, they are making you understand how your responses should be. How God, what is right? What is the right response? What is the right reaction and actions? According to the revelation of Christ. So they lead us to make us. They lead us. The more you are led and you obey what God is saying, then you are being formed. Wisdom that is in Christ. Wisdom, he said it is peaceable. It is gentle. Easily entreated. Full of mercy. Are you seeing an army that is full of mercy? And good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is wisdom. The corrupted wisdom that we are going to fight with is the opposite of these things. So God will train us with these things. The wisdom that is in Christ. They make you wise so that you can connect another level of wisdom. Because there is the wisdom that is in Christ. There is the wisdom of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They call them hidden wisdom. Hidden wisdom. When you have perfected the wisdom that is in Christ, then you are ready for hidden wisdom. For we speak wisdom among them that are matured. Among them that are what? Perfect. For we speak the wisdom of God. How be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak, this one is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is higher than the wisdom of Christ. The wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Unto our glory. Unto what? Our glory. Wisdom ordained unto our what? Glory. This wisdom, they are from the revelations. He said, he now began to tell us in verse 6. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. How be it we speak? So princes of this world, they operate in wisdom. Princes, he said, by wisdom, princes rule. So if you want to fight a prince and you are foolish, the war is over. By wisdom, princes rule. So anybody who is going to confront a prince of this world, prince of darkness, and you don't have a higher wisdom than them. No, back to the party. God wants to weave us with the wisdom of God. Wisdom of Christ first, then the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God. They start us with the wisdom of everlasting life. Everlasting life has its own wisdom. They call them the wisdom of God. The hidden wisdom. God ordained it unto our glory. An army that is devoid of wisdom is a defeated army. Because we are not wrestling with what? But what? Principalities. Powers. They are all wisdom weaved. But they corrupted their wisdom. So we are fighting beings with corrupted wisdom. Our wisdom must be higher than their own. And there's no other wisdom that can, they can, their own wisdom that was corrupted is the wisdom of creation. Because they were creatures. They were created by God. But God ordained the wisdom of the creator. You know somebody that did something, you can easily detonate that thing. You have the secret of the making of that thing in your hand. So also is the wisdom of Satan and that of God. God created him. He now perverted his own wisdom. He corrupted it. Now to fight him, you don't fight him with men's wisdom. You don't fight him with the wisdom of even angels. God went higher for the church so that we can come above these beings. You can war with them and bring them down by wisdom. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They call Jesus a being, a person, the wisdom of God. Why? Because wisdom weaved him. Wisdom weaved him. Like I said, the wisdom is not smartness. Wisdom, most of the time, looks foolish. Wisdom, most of the time, looks foolish. He said, if anyone be wise in this world, let him do what? Become a fool. So that he can be what? He can be wise. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. When God is foolish, when God tells you something and you think that thing is foolish, he's wiser than men. It will bring down spirits. Would they train us to believe in what God says? Everything he says is wisdom. You have to come to a place, you know, when God is raising you and giving you some kind of instructions that look out of this world. I wonder, at some point I came, I said, God, you are the only wise God. If you say this is the way it should go, this must be the correct way. You have to settle that in your heart. That God, you are the only wise God though. Anything you say is wise. Because a lot of those things, they don't, those revelations, revelation of Christ said they are foolish. Foolishness to the Greeks. Because the Greeks are very wise people. They are always looking for knowledge. They are wise. They are wise. So when you bring Christ to them, you say, Kilele, me. So how can somebody with you that has brain like me, you expect me to be take this kind of judgment? That is stupidity. Stupidity. They will take you for granted. How can somebody abuse you and you go and beg the person? And the person now even calls you name on top of it. Say, you see yourself? You see yourself? One day, she just got a car. I didn't know she was able to drive. So I saw her driving for the first time. So I went to, you know, with excitement. Say, I didn't know you have become an... That's somebody who has been abusing me all my life. I just put that aside. I said, I didn't know you have become an international driver. Just to make peace. She just did like that to me and drove off. Do you know the wisdom that the Lord brought to me? Do you know what the Lord said to me? He said, that is your sister. He's telling me, let your head be correct. Discern her. Somebody that you went to greet with excitement, with all the things she has been doing. And I just said, and drove off. And I looked, I said, and the Lord said, that is your sister. You need that wisdom. You know what the Lord is saying? Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Discern her. Discern her beyond her actions and shortcomings. That is your sister. And relate with her as your sister. That is what it means to discern the body of Christ. You know, we relate with ourselves based on our shortcomings and infirmities. That is foolishness. That's not Christ. This army needs to understand how to discern. Because if we don't discern one another, how come I care? That's it. I'm a twist. We'll just be removing our intestines. That is what we'll just bring her down and put inside intestine. Say, look at your cocoa, your head like coconut. But when you learn to discern, you overlook shortcomings. There is one enemy we are fighting. It's Satan and his cohorts. So in Christ, what do they teach us? In Christ, that's where you learn to forbear one another, to endure one another. To forgive one another. You see the Ephesians chapter 4. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Go down. After verse 20. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Because you see how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like what? Upon the head of that flows down to his and to where? To his skirt. It is like the dew upon Mount Hermon. Abi, and as a dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Are you seeing? Even the blessing of everlasting life will be commanded in the place of unity. So this army, they will learn something. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, look at it. For ye have not so learned Christ. See what you learn in Christ. Ye have not so done what? Learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and you have been taught by him. So Jesus teaches. You have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Now, he now went to enumerate the things that Jesus will teach us. That he put up concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Yes. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yes. And that he put on the new man. Christ is a new man. Put him on. How do I put him on? When he is revealed, I do him until he is formed. I keep doing him. I keep doing. The new man is Christ. So his revelations is for me to do until they become part of me. They become a dress that I wear. And he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes. Wherefore, putting away lying. These are the things Christ will teach us. Putting away what? Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Yes. Be ye angry. These are lessons we learn in Christ. And sin not. I can be angry, but I should not sin. That is Christ. Christ's lessons. This is what the armies of God, this is their foundation. Foundation. They must be rooted and grounded in Christ in all these doctrines. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. If you don't perfect this one, you will spoil the fight. Neither give ye place to the devil. That is, when the sun goes down on your wrath, you are opening the door for the devil. Let him that stole see no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. This thing is very tough, but these are the teachings of Christ. The reason I am working is not just for myself. It's so that I can have to give to those who need. These are the teachings of Christ. The Christ company must be able to perfect this one. Can you imagine prescribing this one to somebody who stole? It's not just enough for you to stop stealing. Go and walk. And when you walk, give to those who don't have. You know what makes people to steal is selfishness. You are thinking of yourself. You want to dispossess somebody of his things. So you can't have it. You go and steal it. So it's about you. Now to heal that thing, they now say go and walk and begin to give to those who need it. That is, you take what is enough for yourself and then you give to those who need it. Are you seeing the teachings of Christ? Yeah. The armies of God must be armies of the living God. Yeah. Pastor, how can I go and be walking so I can have to give? See, can you imagine? These are things that we must do for Christ to be formed in us. When Christ, crown of Christ, the end of Christ, is charity, which is needed. The army of Christ, of God, the living God, must perfect charity. We must be able to know those things. We must be established in them. It must form part of us. It is very needful for us. Very needful. In that learning of Christ, there you begin to learn to prefer one another. You prefer your brother. The Bible says you esteem one another better than yourself. It is very necessary for army, for oneness, for their regimentation. It is part of their discipline. You learn that in Christ. Preferring one another, esteeming one another better. That is one of the ways you will not break rank. It is one of the ways, things you must have learned that will make you not to use the sword on yourself. Christ can be learned. Christ can be understood. Christ can be formed in us. It is a reality that must happen to us. It's a reality that must happen to us. After that, then they begin to give us judgment. the charity head calls for everlasting judgment. Everlasting judgment. Everlasting judgment. Everlasting righteousness is meant to raise the image of glory in a man. How does he do it? Attacks iniquity. Iniquity. Attacks iniquity. Attacks iniquity. You know iniquity? The major iniquity, the source of the beginning of iniquity is from Satan. Iniquity was found in him. Iniquity was found in him. Iniquity was found in him. What was the iniquity? I will is the father of self-centeredness. At the end of the day, I will be like the most high. Iniquity. And he taught man. Me, I like to ask God, this terrain that we are entering, what are the things there? Killer one, contani that etima she. What are the things there? The first thing the Lord told me, he said, in this realm, we don't live for ourselves. It is an everlasting commandment. In this realm, we don't live for ourselves. Now you begin to deny yourself from Christ. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Take up his cross. Deny himself and follow me. So the Lord said, in this realm, we don't live for ourselves. Now, if you have not learned Christ very well, this instruction, this commandment will be tough for you. It will be difficult for you to obey because they want to raise an everlasting man. It is the realm of God. God does not live for himself. So they will use the laws, armies of the living God. The laws of the living God, they will use to raise his army. They must be heirs of the laws of the living God. Because they are going to inherit everlasting life. That army, like I said, is their everlasting army, their salvation army. Salvation army, anyone? You know those people they call salvation army? Armies of the living God, they are salvation army. They are saved men. And one thing they must save also is ourselves. That is the major iniquity upon which other iniquities rest. Self. The realm of God is the realm of selflessness. They begin to lead us. They begin to bring those laws to us. He said, you can measure unto me your commandments of everlasting life. There are commandments. Thou shalt quicken me by your commandments. Because your commandments are what? Life everlasting. Life everlasting. You can imagine an army must be selfless. If not, one for sure. They will not be faithful. When they think of themselves, they will not be faithful. So they have to rid them. Save them. Save them. Selfishness is embedded in the heart of every man. There's one adage in Yoruba land that if you give a hoe to a madman, he will bring the thing towards himself as mad as he is. Have you ever seen a madman carrying a hoe and doing it like this? Now, that is not good for an army. It's not good. So, cannot get rid of selfishness until those laws come to you. Revelations. The laws, they are the laws that made up the living God. The laws of the living God, they will use it to frame us. And their righteousnesses. Righteousnesses. They call it everlasting righteousness. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So the ministration of righteousness. There is talking about everlasting righteousness. What he does, we all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. How do we behold when righteousness, everlasting righteousness, is being ministered to us? We are beholding the glory of the Lord. What is that glory? Is the image of the Lord. We are changed to the same image from glory to glory. So that armies of the Lord, they are glorious beings who have acquired image that can attract glory. Glorious beings. By the time they are fully formed, they move as one. No one is thinking of himself. It is possible to be healed of ourselves. God will heal us. By himself. By ministering the laws that framed him. You see our Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't live for himself. That's a fully formed army. He's an army on his own. It's a devastating weapon against Satan. By his make, he's a weapon. The laws that made him up, they are laws of warfare.
Can you imagine all that our Lord went through? Armies that would look like our Lord.
All that he went through, he was made flesh. When found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Bible says, let this mind be in you. Everything he did went to the cross. If you ever read, if you read that Passion of the Christ, or you watch that scene, and then you now look, how can a man do all this, not for himself, but for others? Those are laws that made him up. When you are approaching the realm of God, you are approaching the realm of selflessness. That is the law that is operational in that realm. The realm of selflessness. When you say God, you say selflessness. God, selflessness. They will raise an army. If they don't raise us to be selfless, we will not look that great army. We will spoil God's agenda. Will spoil God's work. It will stop on the way. They need to read us. They need to save us from ourselves. These are they who what? Followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. He said, these are they who love not their lives unto the death. It's a key. It's a very, very vital key for armies of the living God. The laws of the living God. Selfless. You don't become selfless in one day. God has to disarm you. He has to lead you. He has to lead you. He has to lead you. He has to instruct you. He has to create situations around you. But you, the key thing, like I told you, armies are highly regimented. They obey order. They obey instructions. They do commandments. Army. Obey. They tell you when your superior sends you to do something and you want to complain, they tell you obey before complain. They are that disciplined. It's only civilians that will complain. Army, they are taught not to complain. What are you obeying? The voice of the Lord. You hear, because his voice is what will raise us. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. Spoken unto us by his Son. This army, they must have ability to hear the voice of the Son. They must have ability to hear the voice of the Son, because the voice of the Son will communicate to them what will make them. To make them is to save them. What will save them? The voice of the Son. Army, they operate by voice, commandment. The voice brings commandment, brings instruction. Has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What am I trying to say here? The voice of the Son is so key for this army. They must be people who can hear the voice of the Son. Now, if Christ has not been formed in you, you will not be able to discern the voice of the Son. Why do we need to hear the voice of the Son? Verse chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I said the armies of the living God are salvation army. Salvation is ministered to them by things which are spoken. When you neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The voice of the Son, we must never neglect it. It's a voice of salvation. It's a voice of salvation. They will save us and save us. Save us from all our iniquities.
After we must have been delivered from the power of the law of sin and death, we now come for salvation through the voice of the Son. He will speak us to salvation. Salvation is raising. An everlasting man is a raised man. So the armies of the living God, who are everlasting army, they are raised men. They are saved men. Saved! 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 By the voice. They must hear. They must hear the voice. They must hear the voice. The voice communicates to them the name of his Father. I will declare unto you the name, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 or so. That's what the Son will bring. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. My brethren are those who have finished Christ. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. What is the voice of the Son saying? He's declaring the name, the nature of the Father. The nature. What am I saying in essence? Armies of the living God, they are nature, that men in whom nature of God has been formed. Image has been raised. They have obtained glory by reason of formation of the image of God. So you can imagine how they will look like now. Somebody who is in his image, who is in the image of God, who has obtained image, everlasting, everlasting image, everlasting raisin. How will he look like? Of course, he will be meek. Abi, he will be lowly in heart. He will be gentle. He will be what? Full of mercy. He will be harmless. He will be holy. He will be undefiled. Because the things, substances of the living God, they are incorruptible substances. Undefiled substances. Things that fade not away. Those are the things they will use to raise that army. Incorruptible men. Undefiled men. Men that will not fade away. Raisins. Raisins. Nature. 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 God wants to raise us. It is upon those raisins that authorities can rest. They are dominion beings. When you have 1,000 of them, 1,000 of these everlasting men, are they not too much for a nation? Eh? You know I'm asking you questions. 1,000 everlasting men for this Nigeria. Let them now come together. Come on, Badra. Everlasting men. Men who have been raised, statues of everlasting life. Glory is on them. You see why we need to raise to this thing? They are the ones God wants to send to nations. They will go and execute judgment in nations. God wants us to come up. He wants us to hurry into these things. We will submit to these things very fast. The grace will come upon us. You see, God is making known his agenda. He's making known his will, his plan for us. He's calling us. Come into these things. Come and be part of my army. To be part of his army is to be like him. To be framed with the same laws that framed him. And these men, everlasting life. Their head will begin to call for eternal life. Their head will begin to call for eternal life. Everlasting life is the building for eternal life. The building for eternal life. Without everlasting life, no man can inherit eternal life. Because you need some kind of stature to be able to relate with eternal judgment. Because there are also righteousnesses in eternal life that somebody who is Christ will not be able to comprehend it. It takes an everlasting man. It is righteousness after righteousness. Righteousness all through. Like our Lord Jesus said, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even that, we don't even know what wickedness is. You think wickedness is carrying knife to tear your brother? No, wickedness is twistedness. Twistedness. You don't know what is twistedness until you know what is righteousness. So the extent of righteousness you know is the amount of wickedness you can comprehend. You know, there are some sins that you do it, you don't repent. Because you don't know that it is wrong. You do it when they are even telling you, you are even arguing. Until God comes to show you, this is unrighteousness. They have to make known to you. So our sins are revealed by the amount of revelation that we get. When they reveal to you, you know what is unrighteous. And you have to relinquish it. Go against it. Pray that God will help you to defeat laws, wicked laws. You defeat laws of sin and death. You defeat iniquity. Everlasting righteousnesses. They come by revelation, but they stay by obedience. What stays is what adds to your stature. What you do is what adds to your stature. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will help us. We will not just see these things and hear them. We will do them. For it is not the hearers that are blessed, but the doers. God is calling us to come and obey laws. Come and obey laws. Army cannot be separated from order, from instruction. Instructions. Armies, you know the armies, they will not break their rank. You know why they will not break their rank? It's because of meekness. It's only meekness that can make you to know your rank and agree that this is my rank. It takes meekness. It takes meekness. That's why we must be meek. We must be meek. If you are not meek, you will break rank. You will break rank. Say, Talelei, who are you? Who gave you the audacity to control me? They are not controlling you, they are correcting you. What gave you the right to control me or to correct me? Who are you? Or the way you even correct me, say, I don't like it. Such a person will break rank. May the Lord make us meek. I was praying last year. I was telling God. I was seeing a realm higher than the realm I am. And I wanted to enter that realm. I said, God, if it's even war, it's even real, it's very good. It's your realm, it's where you are. I want to come there. I want to come there. Help me. Can't you help me to come there? This place is good. The Lord was showing me, was surrounding me with it. And I was outside it. I said, I want to come. I want to come. I want to enter. I want to enter. It's a higher realm. But it's a very good place. And Lord said, you want to enter? I said, yes. I was praying in my heart. I was praying. I want to enter. He said, it's another level of meekness that can take you there. And he didn't just, he prescribed the meekness to me. He said, come down very low. Very low. Then you will find entrance there. The meeker we are, the higher we go. The realms of God are calibrated in meeknesses. You go higher by becoming meek. I was praying. And he just showed me the key. He said, meekness. Become lower. He said, become lower. Become lower. Become lower. You find entrance. That's why I said, these armies, they are heavenly men. They go up to heaven because they go down. The way up is down. God will train us with meekness. Different levels of meeknesses. Different levels. All meekness. All. Some meeknesses, you attend them, you are crying. Ah, Mogbe, you almost lose identity. Very little men. Little men. Little men. Can you imagine the understanding of army that we have? But that is the key to victory. You will not win any spiritual war, warfare, without meekness. Let's thank him.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.